Today on Life Talk.
Submit to God. The position of submission is absolutely crucial to your being able to win the battle. As a matter of fact, I'm going to just tell you that if you're not positioned correctly, you're probably going to lose, because the way you have positioned yourself is going to decide 80% of that fight.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
Well, as we saw last time, the Lord Jesus has not left us helpless in the midst of spiritual warfare, but he has given us mighty spiritual weapons to use. But not only that, the Bible also teaches us how to position ourselves for the battle. In all combat training, the fighter is taught position, how to position themselves to win the fight, how to stand, how to place their feet, how to position their body to give them the greatest advantage. It's the same in spiritual warfare. The Bible tells the believer exactly how to position himself to win the fight. Not only can we face our enemy with weapons that defeat him, but we can also face him wisely positioned for the battle. I can't wait to share this powerful word with you today, so grab your Bible and follow along as I bring the message, Your Position, from our series, Spiritual Warfare and You.
We're in a spiritual battle, and I read this week in my Bible that the things of this world are temporary, but what is invisible is eternal. The spiritual world is eternal. And that's where the real battle is being waged. We battle not against flesh and blood. You're not battling your spouse only or exclusively, but many times the enemy's behind it, or your children, or whoever it is. We're not battling the many things in America that are coming against the church. We're not battling flesh and blood primarily. We're battling principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's what it says. The Bible gives us a view into the unknown, unseen world, but God is moving. Now, I want to talk to you today about your position in warfare, your position, because we're all in a battle, every one of us. Every one of us fought this week the enemy of our soul. So let's read one quick verse, and because it's so short, I want you to read it with me, and I'm going to talk to you about your position in warfare. Let's read it together. Are you ready? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He'll flee in terror is what that means. How many of you would love to have the devil flee from you in terror? That's literally what it says. I'm just reading the book. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that you have given us what we need to win. You have given us weapons of our warfare, and now you're going to show us the position in which to engage the enemy that we're to be in, the position we're to be in that gives us the advantage. And so, Lord, we just pray for the illumination of the word. We pray for the ray of revelation, that ray of light that God gives, for the teacher, the Holy Ghost, to teach us today and open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand how we can win and not be defeated, how we can be on top and not underneath, defeated by the enemy, but on top of the pile, winners and not losers, conquerors and not conquered. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, will you breathe a prayer, dear church? Say, Lord, speak to me today. I receive the word of God. Renew my mind. Build my faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're about to be blessed. Hang on. Amen. Now, so far in this series, this is the third week in this series, Spiritual Warfare and You. So far, we've talked about your enemy, who he is, what he wants, and how we can defeat him. Then we talk about the weapons of our warfare. What are they? Because we are given weapons that are not carnal or human made, but are mighty through God to pulling down satanic strongholds. And then today I want to talk about your position, how we are to position ourselves for the battle to win. So your enemy, your weapons, your position. Now, if you've ever taken any kind of self-defense or combat training, you know that if you take boxing or you take martial arts or anything, you are taught position. You are taught how to position yourself in a way that gives you the advantage, how to hold your hands, how to place your feet, how to position your body. Now, I'm not a boxer, I've never taken boxing, but I'm just gonna give you my best. Here we go. Something like this. Now, some of you boxers are going, man, he's got that all wrong. Just follow me. But you're positioned, okay? We're taught position because the person teaching us wants us to have every advantage. So we're not only told how to hit and where to hit, but we are taught position so that we are not knocked off balance, so that we don't lose our advantage positionally, are defeated because we didn't know how to hold ourselves correctly. Now, the Bible gives us a position for spiritual warfare. It really does, and we're about to look at it. Paul talked about standing. He said three times in Ephesians 6, he said, having done all, stand. Stand therefore, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He's telling us it is God's will when you are in a battle, that when the battle's over, you are not down and out, but you are standing. You are standing. You were not defeated, but you are standing. Now, in our text where James, that one brief verse, he gives us something very, 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 very crucial about warfare. He gives us our primary position, our stance, how we are to position ourselves where we have the advantage in spiritual warfare. And I'm just going to go over a couple of things out of this verse, pick it apart a little bit, and I believe this is going to bless you. But let's look at what he said. The first thing you need to know positionally is, therefore, submit to God. So I'm going to call it the position of submission. The position of submission. He said, therefore, submit to God. The position of submission is absolutely crucial to your being able to win the battle. As a matter of fact, I'm going to just tell you that if you're not positioned correctly, you're probably going to lose, because the way you have positioned yourself is going to decide 80% of that fight. So the word submit, what does he mean when he says, I want you therefore to be submitted to God? The word submit means first to humble yourself before God. Submission to God is the mark of humility, and it positions you for God's help. See, now immediately there's a little bit of resistance to this, because when we think of humble, we think of weak. When I say humble, you think that that equates into weakness if you're humble. And a lot of men have trouble humbling themselves before God, because men feel like, I'm going to fight my own battles. I'm not going to call out on God. I don't need God's help. I'm a man's man. I'm a tough guy. I can do this. But sir, you're going to come up against some battles you can't win. You're going to experience some attacks that you can't win in your own power, with your own willpower, with your own machismo, with your own maleness. You're not going to be able to win just because you're a tough guy, because there are spiritual battles we can't win without God's help. And so he says, I want you to submit to God. Now listen to what Peter wrote about this. He said, if you want to win, here's the position. He said, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. God resists the proud. Now I want you to notice, in relation to warfare, here I am, the enemy is coming against me. And positionally, what position am I in? Am I in a position where I can win? Or have I entered the ring with my hands down like this? See, the first thing we do positionally is humble ourselves before God. Because the last thing we need in a battle is God himself resisting us. Do you notice what it said? God resists the proud. So if I'm sitting there and I decide, well, I don't need God. I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to take care of this battle myself. I'm going to fight it and win it in my own self-will, my own power, my own strength. then immediately you have said, God, I don't need you. And in a spiritual battle, I'm just reading the Bible here. I didn't write this. God wrote this. It says God resists. He pushes against. He opposes the proud man, the proud woman. The person who says, I don't need God. God says, really? Okay. Well, then I resist you. Because what I'm looking for is humility. Because I give grace to the humble. What I do need in a battle is I need the grace of God. When I'm fighting the devil, I need grace, amazing grace, crazy grace, reckless grace, whatever you want to call it, I need it. I need grace. Because you know what grace is? Grace is that impartation from God that gives you the want to do and the power to do the will of God. See, the reason you're in church today is because grace gave you a desire to come to church and worship Him and be fed. Are you aware of that? Grace gave you the want to do. That's why Paul said, it is God who works in you, both to will, give you the will, and to do, give you the power to do the will of God. For it is God who works in you to give you both the want to do and the power to do the will of God. So I need grace in the battle, giving me the power to do the will of God. And how do I get that grace? I position myself and I humble myself. And here's how I humble myself. I say, Lord, this is bigger than me. It's stronger than me. It is more powerful than me. Lord, I can't win this battle against the devil apart from you. I can't do this without you. Lord, I need you stepping into this. I need you helping me with this temptation. You helping me with this marital struggle. You helping me with my children. You helping me with what I'm battling. Lord, I need God. Can we just lift our hands and say, Lord, I can't win it without you? If you know that's true, give Him a hand of praise. Amen. See, that's humbling yourself. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, but in the Lord. And in the power of His might, not your own. Be strong in the Lord. That's the beginning of Paul's instructions about spiritual warfare. He said, let's start at the beginning. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And as soon as I humble myself, God gives grace.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
In the Old Testament, King Jehoshaphat is told that a huge army is coming against him. And he looks and he sees this innumerable multitude, way greater than him, way larger than anything he can garner and bring together. And it says they were coming to destroy the city and to take him out. And so the Bible says the first thing Jehoshaphat did, he positioned himself wisely. He humbled himself. That's the position. He humbled himself. He humbled himself under the hand of God. It says, and he prayed a great prayer. And you ought to have this prayer on your refrigerator. This is one of my favorite prayers in the Bible. He says, look at the humility in this. He says, oh, our God, we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Now I want you to listen to the humble statements that he made. We're powerless without you, Lord. That's humility. We don't know what to do, Lord. We don't have the wisdom, knowledge, understanding. We're perplexed. We don't know how to win. That's humility. But our eyes are upon you. In other words, we are dependent, Lord, completely on you. Because without you, we're toast. That's humility. He positioned himself. And you know what God did? God looked and he said, grace is on your way because you humbled yourself before me. And in response to his humility, listen to what God said to him. God said, I love this. He said, because you humbled yourself before me, you will not need to fight in this battle. You will not need to fight. Why? Because grace has been extended. Now you've got God not resisting you, but on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. And I can do all things through Christ who loves me. So God said, because you humbled yourself, you're not going to need to fight this battle. And listen to these next two words, position yourselves. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now notice God said, position yourself. And I want you to look at how they continued to position themselves. It says in chapter 20, verse 18 of 2 Chronicles, it says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Oh, I wish for 10 minutes America would do that. Oh, let me just change the verse and dream a little dream. And America bowed its head with its face to the ground. And all of the American citizens bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Man, oh man. Don't you know that some angels would be dispatched this way? Don't you know that amazing grace would be poured out on this land? Now, look what happened here. We see humility with total submission to God prior to the battle. They positioned themselves. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Humble yourself before God. They had a bowed head. Their face was to the ground. They bowed before the Lord. They were candidates for grace. I don't care what you're up against today. If you bow yourself before God and you call on his name and you say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I pray it every week. Hey, listen, before church today, I said, Lord, I can't do this without you. Who is sufficient for these things? I am helpless without the power of the Holy Spirit. Please help me, Lord. And I've already seen grace move because I humbled myself before God. People have already been saved. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Grace is already being extended over our services. Jehoshaphat then placed his praise team at the front of the battle to worship God. And we read that the enemy, as they went forward against the enemy, not first with worldly weapons, but with the weapons of our warfare. And they were praising God, humbled before God. And the Bible says that God turned the enemy against each other, and they devoured one another and defeated one another. And the people of God were completely delivered. And how did it begin? They positioned themselves, the position of submission. And they humbled themselves before God. The Bible says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Whatever you're experiencing in your home life today, your marriage, let me ask you, if you're in a marriage problem today, have both of you gotten into the living room and just got on your face and humbled yourself before God and said, God, these problems are bigger than us, but they're not bigger than you? That'll save you $200 an hour. I'm going to say something. This is a refrigerator sticker. This is one of those. In East Texas, when we went fishing, you'd catch a fish, and if it was big enough, you'd say, that's a keeper. I'm going to give you a keeper statement. You ready? You can't win a battle with God's help when you're not submitted to the God whose help you want. All right, let me say it again. You can't win a battle with God's help when you're not submitted to the God whose help you want. You can't be out there living in the world, living in sin, and say, God, help me. God's resisting you. No, you humble yourself before God. And you say, oh God, help me. And then it leads me to my next point, the second part of a ready position, the second aspect really of the word submit. It's not just humble yourself, but listen, when we submit to God, it means we are submitted to his lordship. We are doing our best to be obedient to him. And so that means we've got to keep a clear conscience. Now, I don't expect everybody to jump up and shout when I'm talking about a clear conscience, but I didn't come here today to tickle your ears, because I can tickle your ear and send you out defeated. I could get up here and say all kinds of things that have you jumping on your feet and shouting and hooting, but one of these days you're going to land. And my job is to be there when you land and tell you how to land right and how to walk right. So I'm not going to tickle your ear. I'm going to give you the truth, because it's the truth that'll set you free. Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, and about this very thing, a clear conscience, keeping a clear conscience. Oh, that is so crucial to winning the battle, a clear conscience. That is your position of submission, a clear conscience. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage what, everybody? The good warfare. Well, that was about five of you. Let's say it again. The good warfare. So what's he talking to him about? Spiritual warfare. And he said, the charge I'm giving you is going to help you wage a good, victorious warfare. All right, well, what's the charge that he's giving him to help him? Here's what it is. He says in verse 19, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences, and as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Notice Paul said, if you want to wage a good warfare, you've got to keep short accounts with God. Now, I tell you all the time, if you've been here very long, I say, never give a sin any longer than a 24-hour shelf life. But as for me, I don't give it more than an hour. I get right as quick as I know to get, because I want my conscience clear. See, this is crucial to your warfare. Because if your conscience isn't clear, a sullied conscience can't fight the devil successfully. He says, if you're going to wage a good warfare, keep your conscience clear. Keep short accounts with God. I repent every day. I practice daily repentance. So, well, Jeff, are you in sin? Well, I mess up sometime every day. I think something, say something, do something. When I'm on I-35, I still cop an attitude I should not have. How come it's taken them this long to build this stupid highway? I have conversations with the church fathers. I talk to the construction workers in my head. What's taking you guys so long? And why'd you put this sign here and didn't put that sign there? And how'd I end up going this way when I meant to be going that way? And even my GPS leads me wrong, because she's confused too with all the construction. And she says, I want you to go this way. And I say, but that doesn't look right. Go this way. And I've got her with an English accent. So she's talking to me like a Brit. And she's telling me to go this way. And so I go that way. And I end up in a vacant parking lot. And I say to her, you're fired. But other than that, I keep a good attitude. But see, you do something every day that you need to say. If you were to just stop and say, God, am I totally submitted to you? Is there anything in my life that is not submitted to God? Is there any thought, any word, any action, any attitude, anything that's not submitted to God? Because God, I want my conscience clear, because I will not win the battle with a conscience that is sullied. I must have a clear conscience. I must have a clear conscience. Right after James tells us to submit to God and resist the devil, that's James 4:7. In the very next verse, James 4:8, he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, he's talking to church folks there. So what is he telling us to do? He's saying, if you're going to win the battle, you got to have a clear conscience. So you draw near to God. And the closer you get to God, it's like you're coming to light, and the more light that comes in, the more dirt you see. And you say, okay, Lord, I want to cleanse my hands, and I want to purify my heart. Getting close to God, cleansing your hand, purifying your heart, all has to do with a clear conscience. We need a clear conscience to win the battle.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.